Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. As Executive Director and CEO of Tex-America's Center, Scott Norton oversees one of the Texarkana region's most important economic assets. That proved true last week when the Gazette broke the news that an ammunition plant employing 400 people will soon begin operations at the center. I thought it was the perfect opportunity to catch up with Scott about some recent developments at Tex-America's Center and what the future holds there. Here's our conversation. Welcome to the studio, Scott Norton. Thank you for being here.
Carl, I appreciate your inviting us here, and it's an honor to be here today. Thank you.
Well, with the big news that broke this week, I thought it was a perfect time, and we're going to get to that. But first, I just wanted to get out there for people who don't know, what is Tex-America's Center?
Sure. Tex-America's Center is technically a special purpose district of the state of Texas, created by the Texas State Legislature back in 1997, officially created by the folks in Bowie County back in 1998. And our goal and purpose is to take the former military property that we have, both from realignment of Red River Army Depot through different base realignment and closure actions, and the closure of Lone Star Army Ammunition Plant, which happened back in 2005, and take that property, make sure the property is characterized and safe for businesses to locate on the footprint, and then take that property and repurpose it to create jobs and tax base for this area. Because with that base realignment and closure, we lost jobs in this area. So we're trying to recreate those jobs, and then with that, create a tax base to help support the community, to help grow the community, and create better opportunities for families. You know, I'm from here. My family's from here. And, you know, we want to grow this region as much as we possibly can.
And we're talking about a big chunk of property, right?
Yes. We have acquired just over 12,000 acres of former military property. And, you know, with that much property and about 9,000 acres of it, was part of the Lone Star Army Ammunition Plant. We didn't acquire all of the former Lone Star plant, but most of it, quite a bit of due diligence had to be done to make sure it was safe. And so we just completed a lot of that due diligence in January of last year, so a year ago. And we're starting to have some success with that property. So it's taken some time to get here, but now we're here and we're starting to have some successes, and things are exciting for us right now.
So tell me about that special sort of government designation of the property. What does that allow you to do?
Sure. A special purpose district is kind of a unique designation, but technically school districts are special purpose districts in the state of Texas. And so it's just kind of how the Texas State Legislature sets up government entities, if you will, to operate. And with that legislation, it tells us what we're allowed to do.
Okay.
And so it gives us the authority to operate as a business unit, to set up our board of directors, to how we can operate, what we can do. We can, you know, set up and we can actually have a police force. We can have a fire department. We can operate with utilities, which is what we used to do for Red River Army Depot at one point. We can actually operate natural gas if we need to. So those kind of things, anything economic development related we can do. And then there's one tagline in our authority that says, you shall not tax.
Okay.
So we do not have taxing authority like a city would have. So,
right.
So really we have all the authorities of a standard municipality except the authority to tax. And so we own about 200 miles of roads with, you know, 12,000 acres of property. And, but we have no tax revenue coming in to help pay for the maintenance of those roads. So there's some, you know, unique ways of how we use our revenue to improve our properties. But it's just the way we're set up to operate and how we, what authorities are given to us and to our board. And then when we want to change things and how we do as we've developed as an organization and grown as an organization, then we have to go back to the Texas State Legislature and ask for approval to do things before we can do those certain things.
Okay. Do you have a sense that the average person around here knows what a resource you have out there?
I think they know the name Tex-America Center, and they kind of know when announcements come out that, you know, hey, that's pretty neat. You know, there's a new business out here or such and such companies out there. But And the folks that have typically worked at some of the military facilities, say Lone Star, Red River Army Depot, or DLA, they may have a better understanding. But I think in general, people really don't have a strong understanding of truly, you know, who we are and how we operate and what we do with a very small staff to get things done. But I think that awareness is growing as we continue to build a spec building and get in the rail business and bring in jobs like with the ammunition plant that came in and some other successes that we've had in the past. And so that awareness is growing, which is a good thing for us. And because then people can start telling people they know that may know of businesses looking to locate somewhere. Hey, there's this place out west of Texarkana called Tex America Center that has lots of land that you may want to consider putting a distribution center or your business or relocating or expanding and have those kind of conversations and bring those to us so we can evaluate them and see if we can make it a good fit for that business and for us. And what I really enjoy mostly is working with the communities around us and trying to find a place for a business not only to succeed today, but long term. Mm-hmm. And so we've had prospects come to us and we've actually sent them to we've had conversations with the city of New Boston because it's a better fit in the city of New Boston, like soccer fields, those kinds of things, you know, or we had a helicopter project come to us and, you know, that's probably a better fit at the airport. This was several years ago. And And so when the airport actually looked at going to the corporate headquarters of that company, we actually sent somebody to the corporate headquarters out of town up in the northwest part of the country to have those conversations. And so we're trying to not just get somebody here, but let's get them in the right place so that company can grow, be successful, and really, you know, put a strong foundation in this community.
There are more than 30 businesses at Tex-America Center, correct?
Correct.
What sort of businesses are they?
So you've got companies like this ammunition plant. There's a new trucking company on the footprint that located there about a year or so ago. The rail operations that's been ongoing, former tenant now, I guess, since they've left. We have Rocasa operates. Their production facilities are on our property. There's contractors for Red River Army Depot on the footprint, obviously helping do things there. Then you have companies like Quail Tool. Quail Tool has been there for several years. They have absolutely nothing to do with Red River Army Depot. They're a piping company, you know, and they've been very successful, very happy being there. So it's a wide variety of type of businesses and industries. And one of the first things that we did once I kind of moved into my role now as executive director and CEO is with 12,000 acres, you really don't have an industrial park. What you have is an industrial park with industrial parks within the industrial park.
Right.
And so we really kind of looked at, because you need different utilities and types of utilities
different
types of industry. Yeah. So infrastructure is different. And so we kind of laid out, we were able to get an EDA grant for master planning. And we really master planned about 3,000 acres of our property. And how is this going to lay out? What infrastructure do we need? You know, some businesses need lots of water. Mm-hmm. We have a water plant coming to the footprint. Some need lots of natural gas. So we put those types of businesses close to the intake of the natural gas on our footprint and really lined those out and added some areas for additional rail car storage and those kinds of things. And so we really master planned, industrial parks within our industrial park and also set aside areas to help support Red River Army Depot, because we want to be a big supporter of their efforts and their growth, hopefully in the future.
So let's talk about the big headline this week. A company called Expansion Industries, which is an ammunition manufacturer.
Yes, sir.
Announced that they're going to be opening a plant there and employ about 400 people, they said. So this sounds like just the kind of win you've been looking for.
So one of those industrial parks within our industrial park is an energetic park. And so we have set aside three of the former Lone Star Ammunition Plant production lines for projects such as this. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, we leased out one of the load lines to Expal USA, and they're still out there operating. And then this company, we've talked to several companies over the years, but we started talking to this company about 2 years ago, having conversations with them. And it's just a great fit for this community. It's a great fit for the company as the Gazette reported in the article yesterday that, the owner is extremely happy with the layout of the facility, the utilities that are there, working with the Tex-America Center staff and the community. And so this really is a great win for expansion industries for us. They're going to utilize some of the existing buildings that are on the footprint.
Which I understand are hardened because previously ammunition was made there. Is that right?
Yeah. There's so some of the buildings are, I'll say, well used.
Right.
Because of the former problem. But there's actually a few buildings on that load line that are in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. And so actually before they purchased a property from us last year, we actually, while we were through working through some of the details in red tape, as Mr. Smithson mentioned in the article, we actually leased them the land so they could actually start some of their work in repurposing mm-hmm. some of those buildings. And so he's wanting to start in one of the existing buildings to get it going. He's already starting to put frames up for new buildings. And he's got great plans for utilizing that property in a way that is right in line with our mission as an organization that will grow not only Texas America Center, but the surrounding communities. You know, we don't have any residential on our property. We're not in looking to build neighborhoods.
Right.
We're expecting the communities around us, Hooks and Leary and New Boston, Redwater, Maud, Texarkana, DeCab, you know, everyone around to provide that, the quality of life things. We don't do that.
Right.
But that's what we want the communities around us to do. We want to focus on industrial recruitment, commercial recruitment, and let the communities around us help support the other things.
And that'll have a ripple effect in the economy.
Correct? It does. It grows, in especially when it's quality jobs. And so we want to create those quality jobs where that employee can buy a home, can support a family, have expendable income to go to downtown and go to a show or go to dinner,
right,
send their kids to college, whether it's at Texarkana College, A&M, Hope Texarkana, or it's somewhere else, and enjoy a high quality of life. And so those are the types of jobs that we're trying to recruit. And this checked all those boxes with Expansion Industries. They've been a great company to work with. The owner's been extremely responsive, as he was with the Gazette when this thing happened and was news broke. And so he's excited to get this job fair up and going next week and start hiring employees and move the template forward for the organization here locally. And this is going to be a great thing, you know, for this entire region, because people will live in different parts of the community. And, you know, some of the surveys that we've done, information that we have is people in this region will drive, 22% of the people in this region will drive at least 50 miles to go to work every day.
Oh, wow.
And that's well above the normal. Normally in across the country.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, you're like at 1.5% typically mm-hmm. across the country. Locally, when it comes to higher paying wages at places like River Army Depot, Cooper Tire, you know, Domtar, Graphics Packaging, I think those types of places drive those numbers maybe a little bit higher, but you're about 22 to 22.5% of people will drive 50 miles one way to work and then home, which is well above the national average. And I think this employer will help keep that number up as well.
Yeah. So pull back the curtain a little bit. How does a deal like this come together? Did they find you? Did you find them?
Well, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, those relationships and people kind of understanding Texas America Center and sharing information about it with people they knew.
Yeah.
That's how this happened.
Yeah.
One of the companies at Texas America Center, their CEO had a relationship with the folks at Expansion Industries and said, you know, you guys really should look at Texas America Center.
Wow.
And so we had those conversations, initial conversations. And, you know, these deals, as I said, we started these conversations about 2 years ago. There's highs and lows. There's things you struggle with trying to find a fit,
right,
when it comes to certain aspects of it. And so things kind of stalled there for a little while not because of anything that we had done or the company had done, but because of the process that we were in as far as getting the property removed from the Army's permit as far as what we could do on the property. And that was cleaned up in January of last year, and we were able to then keep moving forward on this. But just discussions, honest, frank conversations about, you know, the former use of the property. You know, we don't hide the former use of the property. It's actually advantageous for us in some instances like this. Mm-hmm. And so we had those conversations. The owner was, you know, very transparent. We had most of our conversations were face to face, and which helps. So you kind of get to know somebody and you build that relationship. And with him, having his other facility in Carrollton, or as close as he's in Carrollton a lot, and so we're having those conversations close. And we just kind of work through the details of how do we get this thing done. And when we kind of were getting close to the end, he wanted to go ahead and start doing work on at least one of the buildings. And so we said, well, let's put a lease together real quick so we can start working on it. And we got that in place, and he got his insurance in place, and we were able to get all that put in place. And so we just, as we kind of got to hurdles, we talked through those hurdles and made those things work and made it happen. And so it's a win for him, and he's really excited to be here. He loves the transportation corridor that we have here in the region, with the interstate systems, with the state highway systems, with the airport being here, and the growth of the airport. All those things really tied into what he was looking for. Yeah. Again, not just for today, but as he looks at growing his business over the next 5, 10, 15 years, he sees as Texarkana continues to enhance what it is and what it has available to businesses and companies, he saw that opportunity for his company to prosper, and he's excited.
Subscribe today to the Texarkana Gazette, and you'll get an Apple iPad to use at no charge, plus a Sunday paper delivered to your home. Every day, you'll get an electronic version of the Gazette downloaded directly to your iPad. It's the ultimate home delivery. No more waiting, wet papers, or going out into the cold. And everything you want, the latest news, puzzles, and coupons, is right there. You can zoom in to make articles easier to read, or have the iPad read them to you aloud. Enjoy full-color photo galleries and embedded video content, and access the Gazette's archives back to 2002. For only $29.99 a month, it's a great deal. Call 870-648-1209. That's 870-648-1209 to subscribe to the Texarkana Gazette today. So, speaking of transportation, tell me a little bit about the changes with the rail yard that happened late last year. What happened, and how is it going to help?
Sure, absolutely. Lone Star Rail Car Storage has operated a rail car storage operation on the former Lone Star Army Ammunition Plant property, going back even when Lone Star Army Ammunition Plant was still operating before it closed. And so the company had been there long term. When we acquired the property back in 2010, we carried on with that relationship. Rail Car Storage, we had an agreement on his lease of the rail or the rail track that we have on the footprint, which is about 36 miles of rail on the property. And as we continue to get businesses moving forward on the footprint, like the ammunition plant, we started having discussions about the future use of the rail. And we just kind of came to mutual agreement that is probably in everyone's best interest, that is probably time for, if Texas America Center is interested, for us to take over the rail car storage operations and kind of manage the whole process of what was going on. So we started having discussions about, how do we take over the operations, hire the employees that were there, because obviously well-trained, highly qualified employees that work at Lone Star Rail Car Storage. And, the main owner and I had several conversations about how we get this thing done, and conversations with our board of directors. And the benefit to us is, now we're the point of contact on any of the rail operations on our footprint. It's one less person for a business such as Expansion Industries. If they were to come, a new company to come to footprint, you try to have as few points of contact as possible. And so if
just
we have
to sort of simplify
it's just things. To simplify the process for one less hurdle to overcome, And so it allows us to not only speak on the land on the footprint, but if someone's a rail car user, they're also talking to us about rail cars coming in the property, out of the property, storage of rail cars on the property. So there were, Lone Star Rail Car Storage have done a fabulous job on the footprint over the years. Even through the transition, we completed the transition at end of October. It was effective November 1 of this past fall. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Lindsay, who's the primary owner of Lone Star Rail Car Storage, has actually been a consultant for us since then to help us through the transition and to have conversations with the customers that he had for rail car storage. And I've known Jeff for a long time. Mm-hmm. Our boys are about the same age and kind of grew up together. So right. We've had a great relationship through this process. And so it's been a very smooth process for us. We hired a gentleman to help us kind of take over to fill that spot, who's 30 years in the rail industry, mm-hmm. and is from Ashdown and wanted to kind of be home. So we're very fortunate to find him to come in and do that for us. Who knows rail, who understands rail and how it works. And, so it's been a great process for us, an exciting process for us, and it allows us to really do more things with the rail when it comes to rail transload. We can expand the transload opportunities, not only for our tenants, for other businesses mm-hmm. throughout the region, and then to manage the rail cars coming in and out for businesses that are on our footprint.
Reading about this, I see the term third-party logistics. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So third-party logistics is really just helping a business be successful with okay. their operations. And so we've had prospects come in to us and talk to us and say, hey, we need, as we set up our operations, someone to help us with storage of product, you know, mm-hmm. especially starting off, or as trucks come in, help us unload and load mm-hmm. trucks. And so about a year and a half ago, we started our third-party logistics operations and hired a third-party logistics individual to help us with that. And So we actually have four contracts right now for third-party logistics. Mm-hmm. I believe it's four. And that covers about 70,000 square feet of space on our footprint, helping companies, you know, either move product back and forth or just utilize storage space on our footprint. They don't really want to lease a full building.
Right.
They just want to use part of a building for storage, different things. It's been a great, and we have new companies coming in asking us all the time, hey, I need short-term storage for this. Right. We had a company who their agreement has expired, but they were just storing tables that were having to go to, I think, New York, somewhere up in the Northeast, mm-hmm. but they were operating locally here in this region, and they needed more storage space. And so we did a third-party logistics with them where we provide them some short-term storage, possibly help them with some of the loading and unloading, yeah. those types of things. And so it's just another part
of this sort of one-stop shop.
It's an enhancement to allow us to do one-stop shop because we actually almost lost a company one time because we didn't have that service available. Mm-hmm. And so they actually had to find another company to do it. And that's really what got us thinking, you know, this is something we really should look at and see if we want to offer it. And had discussions with our board and decided to get into that business. And it's been a great move for us. It helps us a lot with conversations with prospects and businesses. And we have lots of other conversations going on right now. Just companies that start off, where to store products, where to handle products. Because they want to bring a bunch of people in, or if they just need a little bit of stuff, they don't right. want to hire people. And so it's been a really good deal as you say, you know, make us that one stop shop for a lot of things that, you know, we can help with state permits, local permits. We do all the zoning for our property ourselves.
Right.
And since we own it, we can help with third-party logistics. We can help with rail. You know, it's just there's a lot of things that we can do in-house that kind of differentiates us mm-hmm. from other, not just redevelopment authorities across the state or the country, but also from other just kind of redevelopment areas as far as areas that are trying to grow. We kind of have that. It's not just I'm doing a land transaction with you or I'm selling you a building and I'm out.
You can provide these services too.
Additional services to help that business be successful and grow in the future.
Another exciting thing that's happened recently is this huge spec building that
yes,
you guys built. Now, tell me about this. I'm going to see it. I've read about it.
Come on.
It sounds pretty titanic.
It's been an amazing process for us to go through, especially during a pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, we really started talking about this in 2019, started kind of putting some initial plans together, thoughts, you know, not just back of the napkin kind of thoughts and processes mm-hmm. And then we kind of put an ad hoc committee together. And in May of 2020, right as the pandemic was really kind of getting hot and heavy, we presented a plan to our board after obviously lots of discussion. And they approved us to move forward with a design build at that time on a 108,000 square foot spec building. So we advertised for design build. And through that process, we ended up with a 150,000 square foot spec building because the pricing ended up working out where we could expand it by almost 50% with a very minimal price increase, designed a certain way. And we broke ground in November of 20 and actually accepted the building in October of last year. So about 11 months of construction through a snowstorm and lots of rain and everything else in this area. And there's 30 dock doors on the back of that building, two drive-in doors.
We should explain what we mean by spec building. It just means you've constructed this space that is available for people to come in and lease.
It's a speculative building for speculative use. We've designed it for light manufacturing or warehousing. It can be multi-tenant or single tenant. We have five storefronts technically on the front of the building, but it's an open building where we can go in and put in walls and offices if need be, but it's just kind of speculative where other things could be added later on to finish the design, finish out for a specific tenant or specific tenants. It's really been something that's really driven a lot of interest in our property. And we've had folks come look at it and say, you know, I really don't need that much, but we've been able to show them other things. And those other things have led to where I'm going to lease this building over here, maybe a second building later on, and maybe in a year or two, maybe ask you guys to do a design build for us, which we have the authority to do and can do and have done in the past. And so the spec building's really been, you know, it's 32-foot clearance. You know, it's if you drive out there and look at it or fly over it on your flying out of Texarkana and flying to Dallas, if you fly over it, it looks just like those warehouses at DFW when you're flying into DFW. It's one of those. And we actually kind of toyed around with putting our logo on the roof of the building, but we decided not to do that. But it's a great building, and I'm very hopeful that that we'll have that thing leased out or completely utilized, I'll put it that way, by the end of this year.
Have you been getting any interest?
We've had a lot of interest. We've priced that building out to at least 15, if not 20 companies for the full building. We've had several companies wanting to lease part of the building, but with that much interest in the entire building, we're kind of just focusing on the entire building right now. And then if, you know, after a certain amount of time, if it doesn't pan out with one or more of them, then we'll look at kind of parsing it out piece by piece. But you know, we can do it in parcels as little as 13,000 square feet within that building. It's been exciting. And, you know, if we get that one leased out or sold, then we'll go to the next one. It may be that big. It may be smaller. Maybe multiple buildings that are smaller. We're kind of filling through that right now. But it's created a lot of interest, a lot of demand. And we've actually had some of the local folks, including Ready, you know, talk to us about it with some of their prospect activity. So it's been a great project for us.
What else is going on out there these days?
You know, Carl, we do a census report every year, kind of update the community on where we're at as far as growth. You know, back in 2021, we had 9 new companies come on the footprint, which you know, people don't realize we have that much traffic on the footprint. We had job growth on the footprint, about 60 or 70 new jobs with those companies. And we have a lot of companies coming in, kind of starting off small and growing, which is, you know, we really like that as well. Those types of things are exciting for us.
I saw the payroll last year was, what was it, $10.8 million?
$10.8 million. And that's what the companies that would report to us would give us those numbers. There's several companies that, you know, that's, you know, some companies don't want to share that information, which is fine. And we always tell them we put that number out as a cumulative number, not as individuals numbers. But there's still some that don't want to share that. It's going to be well above that number. But
that's still a big number.
It's still a big number, and we're excited, you know, with everything that we have. And you know, the new local There's a new trash company that's more on the west end of the county that's on the footprint now and doing great things for the community. And the new trucking company that came on our footprint, they're continuing to grow. We're actually looking at some other options for them right now. And Rocosa continues to grow. They're doing great things out there. And so there's lots of good things going on the footprint. You know, we were able to get the permit off the Lone Star property about a year ago this month, and that's really driven a lot of
and explain that activity. What exactly does that mean?
So when Lone Star was closed and then eventually transferred to Texas America Center, TCEQ, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, put a permit over the property that really kind of restricted what we could do with the property until characterization was done, and TCEQ could certify the property was safe for commercial industrial use.
Right.
And so back in 2015, we were able to get about 2,000 acres off that permit, the Army's permit. And then in January of last year, January of 21, we were able to get 98% of the property off that permit. So now it's open and free to do
whatever you
however, from a business or from a commercial industrial perspective, we can use, like I said, I think all but 210 acres of what we own out there for commercial industrial use. So in the places that they don't want us to use, it's, you know, like one of it's an old landfill.
Right.
So there's some landfill cleanup that, and it's a commercial industrial landfill. So, you know, it's something that they have to continue to clean up. The Army has to. So, but it really opened the door for us. We put the spec building where it is now because that property was already off that permit.
Right.
So we could build there this property with Expansion Industries ammunition plant that was on that permit. And so that was some of the massaging we had to do to that process, was waiting till that property was off that permit before we could actually sell that property to them and transfer the ownership of the property to them. So that's all great and exciting. So, you know, in the last couple of years, with the 3PL services, with the rail, with the spec building, with Expansion Ammunition or Expansion Industries coming on the footprint, the additional marketing that we're doing for the property, you know, we have a foreign trade zone that we have, number 258, that not only can we utilize, but can be utilized through basically the southern half of Bowie County for businesses wanting to use foreign trade services. So that's available for companies. And so there's a lot of good things that we've really been able to work on as a team. And when I say a team, it really is our staff, it's our board, it's our consultants, and then the support that we have in the community.
Because
anytime any of us pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, I need help, we need help with X, Y, or Z, you know, I mean, it happens. Mm-hmm. And there's no questions asked. You know, they may want some clarification, but there's no questions asked. And it's just great to have the support of the entire community. And whether it's, you know, something that we need support from, you know, New Boston or Redwater or Hooks or, you know, Leary or whoever, Texarkana, you know, Texarkana, Arkansas or Texarkana, Texas, either one.
Yeah.
You know, we've always received great support from the entire community. And that goes a long way.
I'm sure.
Towards being successful. And because what we're doing, we really are helping the entire region, because those folks are going to live, as I said earlier, off of our property in those communities. And those families are going to live in those communities. So those kids are going to go to school in those communities, and they're going to buy groceries in those communities and buy gas and, you know, expend sales tax money in those communities and pay property taxes in those communities. And so I'm excited to see the growth that we're having. And, you know, selfishly as a Bowie County boy who grew up in Wamba, Texas, you know, north of Texarkana, selfishly, I want to make sure we're creating jobs. So my kids, you know, stepkids, you know, grandkids have an opportunity to come back here. And if they so choose, to have a good paying job where they can support their families and be a part of the Texarkana community. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family, which is why after I left here after college, I came back. Yeah. This is where I wanted to have a family and raise a family. And so this is home, and I want to see it be as successful and as prosperous as it possibly can be.
Well, that sounds like a great note to end on. Thanks very much for spending a little time with us today.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate you, sir.
I'll see you down the road.
Sounds great.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. The show was written, produced, and edited by Carl Richter. News stories are based on Gazette staff reports. Texarkana Gazette podcasts are made possible in part by a grant from the Google News Initiative Journalism Emergency Relief Fund. I'll see you next week on The Line.